Coming up on Patriots This Week, they play in Jerry's world, and once were America's team. But these Cowboys were not going to corral the Patriots.
You know, these guys are ready to go. You know, players played a solid game. I give them all the credit in the world. They did a good job.
The Cowboys were hoping a rejuvenated defense would spell doom for Tom Brady. But the Patriots quarterback made sure it was doomsday for Dallas.
TV for TB12.
You know, it was a big win for us. It was going on the road. It's never easy.
Now it's on to Indianapolis, where a symbol of luck hangs on the helmet. And the quarterback wears it as more than a charm. But after an off-season of controversy, the Pats claim there is no extra incentive this weekend.
It's another game for us.
Well, really, it is just another game on schedule.
Yeah, right. That's right now on Patriots This Week.
After a big win in Big D, the Patriots are off to Indianapolis to corral the Colts. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soci along with Scott Zolak, former Pats quarterback, and my radio partner and a three-time Super Bowl champion as a linebacker, and special teams ace Matt Chatham. I know the game upcoming has been circled on your calendars for some time. Let's talk about the game that was. Patriots prevail over the Cowboys, 30-6 the final, but 3-3 well into the second quarter. Cowboys got a lot of pressure on Tom Brady, though. 5 sacks and many more hits.
And I think I go back to those days when you lost Super Bowls to the New York Giants. You were able to get pressure with 3 down, and that's what they did. They got pressure with 3 down, 4 down at times. And Greg Hardy put all the stuff that's off the field aside. This guy's a darn good football player. You couldn't block him one-on-one. That was evident. They rotated guys. Eventually, they figured some things out, gave him some help chipping the back, chipping the tight end. But Hardy, I thought, ruled the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Zoe makes a good point about the chip. I think once they actually used Mike Williams a little bit, I believe the first series that they came out in the second half and just simply say, okay, enough of that. We're not going to lie. All you chip that guy and the ball gets out of hand, Tom's hand so quickly, you sort of alleviate that problem. Yeah. But it's an in-game adjustment thing. They showed that they could get there. Now, if another team says, oh, we saw that, let's just now do that, well, every team doesn't have Greg Hardy.
Well, eventually the Patriots figured things out. They scored on 4 of 5 possessions, beginning with a Tom Brady 1-yard touchdown run on the sneak in a drive that was really set up by the screen game and Deion Lewis.
We've seen some really good backs around here. You played with Kevin. You know how good Kevin was in the third down presence. Shane Vereen, you don't win that Super Bowl last year if he doesn't have that second half he had. This kid, and they got to figure out how to keep him healthy for 16 weeks. And I think that's going to be the challenge with his size. But he's pretty darn dynamic. I love Deion Lewis out in space.
Here's the challenge of having a guy like him on the field for a linebacker. So usually when you have a back in the game that any of the 2 or 3 linebackers that happen to be in there can handle them.
Should be able to cover that.
You don't have to declare, right? So it's like if he goes left, he's mine. If he goes right of center, he's yours. So if you're a Dallas and you know there's one guy you know that can't take him, release him a certain way. So you get to declare who gets to cover who, and it's always a mismatch.
Plus, if you're in the open field one-on-one with him, you don't know whether he's going right or left.
Play
if
leverage.
You go high, he's going under. If you go low, he's going to break
exactly.
the tackle.
Play leverage, yeah.
Yeah.
How about Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, the rub plays for the Patriots? They got caught on a couple of offensive pass interference plays early in the game, but then they strike for the 59-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady to Edelman. What's the difference between those penalties, one of which was on Keyshawn Martin, and the score?
The pick plays and all those rub plays are part of the new offense in the league. That's what Green Bay runs. That's what Seattle runs. Everybody runs it. I mean, in a Super Bowl, you go back to Baldwin's touchdown catch with Revis. He made a rub play off the referee, you know. But you got to learn how to do it better. And I thought the Patriots did it last year better. The one on Keyshawn Martin, it was basically almost an actual pick play, taking a charge as a basketball player. You can't do that. Right. But I thought Amendola was fantastic. He gets in there, puts the hands up, says, okay, I didn't have any contact there. You can't call that one right there. So then you get Edelman free. It was a great job by him.
So despite the struggles early, as we mentioned, 30 points for the Patriots and 2 field goals allowed by their defense. They keep the Cowboys out of the end zone. They got pressure on Brandon Whedon. I know he's not Tony Romo, and he didn't have Dez Bryant out there, but what did the Patriots do that impressed you defensively?
I thought they took away the big play, and that's something that they didn't do through the first 3 games. Somebody always hit a big play on them, and that's a step in the right direction here. But I thought, you know, when Hightower went down, Jamie Collins and Matt, you can talk more to his position, his ability to switch and fly and just fly around. I thought Collins was phenomenal.
I think the biggest issue in this particular game is because they didn't have any deep threats. Terrence Williams is going to be kind of that guy. But he's really more tested. He's a complimentary player. I think that was a very depleted Dallas offense. Jason Witten can win at the sticks, but Jason Witten is not beating any people down the seam anymore. He's a stud, but that's just not his game. So in a game where they don't have that element and you can pack things down, stop the run, they were pretty shorthanded.
And what about the pressure applied on the quarterback by Jabal Sheard, among others? His effort individually to get to Whedon a couple of times.
We sit here every week and we do this show. And we talk about 93 every week. And what's the one thing Bill Belichick loves, and Matt Patricia loves, excuse me, consistency on defense. And 93 keeps coming up. And you put him out there and you see Easley in the game. And Easley starting to get healthy again. Easley, him, Ninkovich, Jones, Chandler up front. Now you got an active, athletic front four you could go get people with.
And Alec Branch, I think it's a name we should mention
because
the sexier sort of pass rush guys always get that thing. He's the big body on this roster that can collapse a pocket as these guys kind of clean things up. I've liked what I've seen from him. What I like about Sheard, though, beyond just, you know, he does get an edge rusher too in each game, that one of the sacks he had was over a guard. And if he's able to go speed and power and use great leverage hands and then play right through a guy that outweighs him by 50 pounds, that's extremely impressive. From personal experience, I know how good that is, what he just pulled off.
Tackling of the secondary, too. It's the safety play, McCourty, Chung on Jason Witten, but also coming up in run support, including rookie Jordan Richards. And even the cornerbacks, what impresses you about their physicality, not necessarily in the passing game, but in the running game?
I think Logan Ryan's a fantastic run support corner. You can say what you want about the pass coverage ability, but you give him help over the top. And you roll coverage and you go cover two and you put him up front, he's as good as anybody getting up and getting guys down at the ankles. The big tackle by McCourty on the fourth and two shows you, puts him in the spot like, hey, let's kiss our sisters and kick a field goal here. And we're glad we got 6 points against those Patriots. Boy, nice job, Jason Garrett. But the McCourty's tackle there allowed, put them in a tough spot to make a tough decision.
It's really something that you have to credit the scouting department. When you go out and get guys, there are 1,000 people walking the face of the earth that can play football that are 5'10", 185 pounds. There aren't a lot that are willing to take that 5'10", 185 and stick it in the nose of a 300-pound guy who's pulling out on the edge.
And so, Malcolm's the same way, too. Yeah. I mean, Malcolm's a great, you know, you talk about guys
willingness.
Finding guys.
Yeah, the word is willingness. Not every kid is willing to go in there and give himself up like a bullet.
Big picture, looking at this defense, first game, of course, gave up a lot of yards to Pittsburgh, different type of scheme. Now they go up against the Cowboys, albeit shorthanded. Nonetheless, still with that offensive line, and Randall and McFadden, two very capable running backs, and the Patriots more than held their own.
They scout and game plan really well, and I think you need, as a player who studies another team, Coach Belichick is so great at sort of walking you through what you need to expect from this player, which is different from this player, from this situation in the game, from this situation in the game. Randall is a good example of a guy who's a slasher who loves to cut back. As soon as they flip the switch and it's McFadden, he doesn't do that. He's power scheme guy, slow, hit it hard to the play side. So just sort of understanding, in the huddle, hey, guys, it's now Randall. That switches something in your head. The Rolodex flips. You're going to get a different set of plays. So you saw them sort of handle who they got. Okay, now we're in a different situation. The world flips to Jason Witten. I mean, just understanding we're in a down and distance, we're in a personnel group, something has changed, and then being tuned into what needs to happen.
And when we continue on Patriots This Week, we'll find out if indeed the end justified the means in San Diego on Monday night.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Jabal Sheard. Drafted by the Cleveland Browns in the second round of the 2011 NFL Draft, the Patriots picked up Sheard to pressure quarterbacks. Against Dallas, the 26-year-old who played his college ball at Pittsburgh sacked Brandon Whedon twice. He now leads the Pats with 4 sacks, a starring role from the man who was born in Hollywood. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We are back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as Patriots This Week continues with a look back at Monday night, the Pittsburgh Steelers prevailing over the San Diego Chargers. Strange finish to that game, including some time elapsing off the clock when it should have been stopped. Right. And the Steelers, with 5 seconds to go and one timeout, line up Wildcat, and Le'Veon Bell scores the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, we could sit here and talk about that play. I thought it's an awful, horrendous call because not only do you take the quarterback and the element of the pass out of the play, you have a run, technically a running quarterback. Say what you want about Mike Vick and if he could still run in that. You got two options. You automatically took off that play and you said, everything's on Bell. He's running it left or right. So you kind of a head-scratcher. It worked for them. You know, you look at the time loss there, too. They had no clue what was going on. Again, a Pittsburgh Steelers coaching staff, unaware of the clock. But as I told you after week one, this is a hardened team that I think we're going to see at the end of the year. I really do.
I think they get the most out of what they have. I think Vick was pretty bad for three quarters. He had the big sort of late play action play where he hits one for basically the length of the field.
That was a chuck and duck.
Exactly.
Too, they drew that up. Exactly. You know?
It basically appears at this point that that's going to be the thing until Ben gets back. Super conservative with a play call. Misses a lot of intermediate windows. He just hangs in there until they finally break one. Le'Veon Bell was so special, though. They had so many sort of series continuing drives just because he would break plays sometimes where there wasn't even a gap there. But the thing that I jumped out beyond just, Bob, you'd mentioned sort of the time lapse, the unnecessary roughness.
Yes, the goal line.
On the 1-inch yard line was one of the most asinine calls you'll see in football, because basically you're asking the young man with the game on the line not to hit exactly where the ball is. If he hits where the NFL likes and goes low on the guy rolls into the end of them. You're basically saying, concede the points. How can you create a rule that says concede the points? That's so anti-football. Roger, you know, Lombardi's rolling over his grave on that one.
The Baltimore Ravens, a pick by many to go to the Super Bowl, reeling after another loss, this time to Cleveland at home in overtime after shredding 457 yards passing by McCown.
Who? McCown. There's your answer right there. But it goes to show you, I mean, it's a team in Cleveland. It really doesn't know who they want their quarterback to be. It's kind of, you know, whichever guy is active that week, whichever guy's playing better is going to be the guy. Goes into Baltimore and puts up those type of numbers. That's a nail in the coffin for Baltimore. I don't care what you say. Cincinnati's really stretched that gap. And Pittsburgh's kind of treading water here and surviving until Big Ben comes back.
The biggest thing that popped out to me is they made a calculated sort of gamble here. You're gonna live one more year with Steve Smith, which is fine, but he got injured. You draft Bernard Perryman, which is sort of going to be your big play threat guy. You're going to let Torrey Smith go. Torrey Smith sitting there on the shelf in the San Francisco offense. They can't use him. They no longer have the tight end production that they used to have with Owen Daniels. So now they draft a young kid in Max Williams from Minnesota. He hasn't been as productive as you'd get. So you lose production at the tight end position. You no longer have the downfield threat, and your best guy, Steve Smith, is injured.
And if the Ravens were a fashionable pick to win the AFC this year, another trendy pick, the Indianapolis Colts. We'll talk about them right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, the better that the Patriots get on offense as far as scoring points, teams are going to want to keep the ball away from them, and that comes with the running game. So let's take a look at Frank Gore for the Indianapolis Colts. Hey, by the way, quickly, thank you for cutting Deion Lewis. We love him. We're going to keep him. 2-year extension. Here's Frank Gore. He's not on the back nine of his career, but watch this guy right here. Has the ability to get up into the line, and we've seen LeGarrette Blount do this. Once you get up to that second level, pop outside. That's where more daylight is. That's a big run right there. Here is down the red zone. Misdirection, little underneath hand fake, and here you go. You got the slot to the one side. This guy has the ability to get to the corner. Now, Colts like to throw the ball also, so you need a back that can catch. They didn't have it with Trent Richardson. They've been looking for a guy. They finally found one right here. Here's a guy, and this is a matchup thing right here. You take your nickel personnel, you put them on the outside guys, you take number 91, Jamie Collins, in passing situations, and you cover Frank Gore. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue on Patriots This Week with a look ahead to the Pats' next game at Indianapolis. Zoe, I know you've been amped up for this game for a long time.
I'm a little excited for it.
A little bit. Yeah. Little bit.
I mean, this is going to be termed as what? Good versus evil. Say what you want. You never forget the person that isn't really or doesn't belong in the same room with you and complains and cries or squeals. Bill, but here's the funny part of it, too, and you've been around Belichick, and everybody says, oh, well, you got this article or that article or Grigson or Irsay or Pagano or whatever you want about so-called Deflategate, and it's bulletin board material, bulletin board material. I bet you Bill doesn't use any of it this week. He's going to treat this like any other week, which is going to make his team Wednesday of this past week of practice go, okay, we're in one here. We're just going to go out and do our thing. Now, once that game gets rolling, and you know, we get to the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, we got a little bit of a lead. Now you start pulling all that stuff off of the past, and then maybe that's where they really go get it.
I've seen this in Bill's eye, where I think Zoe's hitting the nail on the head here in the notion of he's not putting clippings on the projector, right? He's not necessarily going out of his way to remind people about this. They've got X's and O's and a lot of things to prepare for first. That said, you can see the glimmer. You can see when it's a little bit more important. You can see when you're a little bit agitated. You can see when it means a little bit more. When you get out in that moment, there's a little extra fire. It doesn't have to be expressed. It doesn't have to be said. I think if you're in this building, you get it. The idea that this is an organization that's been making excuses for a year straight. I mean, even as they've gotten into their own season now, when things go bad for their quarterback, the offensive line.
In fairness, the Colts players, though, for the most part, DeQuell Jackson especially, those guys really haven't pinned that loss in the AFC Championship on any irregularities by the Patriots.
Actually,
they said they've got their
buzzkill.
It's a good point. Players and the organization and even the fan base and some of their media, those are two different parties. Andrew Luck is not a hateable guy. You're right. DeQuell Jackson was a stand-up guy. I think across the board, yeah, that the players really aren't a part of this. This is more organization.
What about the head coach Chuck Pagano on his position and those players maintaining their faith in him, because certainly he's on the hot seat. There's friction reportedly between Pagano and Ryan Grigson and owner Jim Irsay. How as a player in that situation do you respond?
It's not good. I mean, right now, because Chuck Pagano's a defensive-based head coach. You look at this team and their struggles from last year. They couldn't stop the run. They have all these weapons, so to speak, on offense. And what do they do in the offseason? They go and they draft more, and they try and pad the offense. And, you know, you got to be able to stop the run. You got to be able to get off the field. Matt, you know this playing defense. And if you haven't helped that guy, there's going to be a division there. You know, there's offense, defense, and special teams. They're lucky they got Vinatieri as a kicker.
One of the things that would have, I think, agitated me a little bit if I'd have been in the locker room as a veteran is when they lost the game against the Jets a few weeks ago, Pagano threw his own offensive line under the bus. Now, regardless of what issue he has going on with Grigson, I get that. But in going back and reviewing that tape and trying to figure out, you know, how they might approach Luck, presuming he's in this game, Luck played poorly. And it was not it was not bad protection. He had a lot of poor decisions, a lot of times. And Pep Hamilton takes a bit of this, too. They use such an aggressive downfield approach. There
it's
aren't check
long.
Down elements.
It's too long.
When the Jets would show pressure, Luck did not audible. He did not do the things that you see Tom do, bring a guy in or look to a hot. He stares downfield. Yeah. So the point of that is the blame is spread throughout the team. To sort of take one unit on the team and throw it on them, I think that was silly. Your golden boy deserves some criticism as well.
Well, Matt Hasselbeck in Luckstead won the last two games for the Colts, and you wonder just how many times he did check to help Indianapolis offensively.
You make a great point, though, in that it still worked, right? That's the same offensive line from 3 weeks ago. They did make a change with Harriman at the right guard spot, but those two guys emerged because they make an effort to find them and use a quarterback in Matt Hasselbeck that uses a little more conservative approach. He gets the ball and he gets it out of his hands.
Line him up. Let's go.
Much Patriots Nation expecting a big win for the Pats in Indianapolis. We'll find out from Zoe and Matt what they expect on Sunday night. Coming up right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Receiver Dante Moncrief's production has fallen off with Andrew Luck out of the lineup. But if Luck is playing, start Moncrief. He should benefit as the Colts try to match points with the Pats. But sit Chris Ivey, the Jets running back. This is not a good matchup in the Meadowlands against a tough Washington run defense. This week's sleeper is Giovanni Bernard. The Bengals are in Buffalo this week, and while the Bills are tough against the run, pass-catching running backs have had success against them. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
All right, before we head off to Indianapolis in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios on Patriots This Week, Scott Zolak, what will we discover at Lucas Oil Field Sunday night?
Well, I think we all kind of know where the score is going to be. I got him in the high 40s. I'm going to go 48-16, so to speak, and it's going to be a pretty good butt kicking. Player of the game, impact player, I'm going with Danny Amendola. I think Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski starting to draw a lot of attention. It's going to free up Amendola. You don't worry about Deion Lewis to what we talked about. Amendola is going to get six catches for about 130.
I'm going to go with the big score as well. Like Zoe, I think 48 is a nice number. I tend to think they'll get up 48 to God knows what. Maybe the score comes back with some dirty points later, so maybe 48 to 20. My guy's going to be Rob Gronkowski, and the reason I say that is, yes, the Cowboys gave him extra attention. First time I've seen him doubled in a while where they actually go out of their way and make attention. The Colts have a history of not doing that, not overcommitting, right, spot dropping and just trying to match people down the field. I highly doubt that they adopt Dallas' thing, and for that, they'll be in trouble. I also look for Rob, not just for the catches, look at him at the point of attack in the run game.
The last time the Patriots went to Indianapolis, week 11 of a year ago, Rob Gronkowski threw one of the Colts out of the club. As always, next week when we reconvene, we welcome you back into our club. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Sosie for Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.